What a privilege it is. Good morning, my Run for Christ Ministries family and to the Blog Talk listeners. It's Saturday. Time to go to school. Hope you're up and you're ready. Got your Bibles, your pencils, your pens, all of the stuff you need. And let's get ready to go into the Word. So let us open in prayer. Father, right now we thank you for the privilege of being in fellowship with you. By the power of your Holy Spirit, we are here presenting our bodies as living sacrifices to take in not just words, but to take in your word, to know about you, and more importantly, to live it out. We thank you for every person that is joining in today, Lord. Open their minds and their hearts as they prepare themselves to receive what you have for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Morning.
Good morning.
Good to hear you all this morning. And we are ready to go deep diving, as we've been talking about. As we continue developing a strong apologetic defense of our faith, not just knowing what we believe, but why we believe it. Let me see if you can help me with something this morning. One of the things we say a lot in situations is God is in what?
Control.
We say it a lot. We've rehearsed it a lot. But do we understand that God really is in control? Because it doesn't look like it, does it?
No.
No. Not in every situation. But when we say it, one of the things, again, I want us to be people who of real faith, not just faith is in someone based upon something. It's strong, it's rooted, it's grounded. And so when we say a lot of things, you know, we say God is good all the time and all the time.
God is good.
We say God is good. But do we understand the depths of what that means?
No.
So, no, we don't. And like you said, when we even say God is in control, we really don't. We hope God is in control. We say God is good, but we don't even understand good because we apply it to so many things.
Yeah.
But what our lessons and what we're learning should be helping us do is get grounded and rooted in the fact that God really is in control, because that's why we believe in the kingdom. We believe that we are citizens of God's kingdom, and the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is what?
At hand. God's reign and rule the way he intended?
Yes. So it's both. If God's reign and rule the way he intended from the beginning, and it is at hand. It's right now. It's present. And there are parts of it we are not seeing fully yet because we are still in this fallen and broken world. But we can pray and ask God to reveal his kingdom every single day. So we're deep diving into the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus, and this is Matthew 5 through 7, is actually one sermon. It is a complete teaching. It is not just some pieces where they piece together pieces about Jesus. It is actually Jesus' words explaining the kingdom, what the kingdom is like, what the kingdom is not supposed to be like. And we are in chapter 6 right now, and we've been looking at what the kingdom has been like in relation to God. So we looked at the first one. We looked at prayer in chapter 6, verses 5 through 14, where prayer is personal. It's intimate. It's relational. And one of the aspects we need to be in prayer is transparent, where we reveal to God what's going on inside of us. That's really our part, is to go before God based on who he is and tell him what's going on with us. Because if we're hiding things, can he fix it?
But he wants us to talk to him.
Yes.
He wants to partner
with us.
He wants us
to communicate. Yes. and I always go by the old phrase, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. In other words, he does not force anything on you or put anything on you. He waits to be invited in. So,
right.
So when it comes to in prayer, and especially when it comes to sin, go ahead.
I was just saying that he asked, do you want to be made well?
Amen.
Wow. And then when you look over and, you know, that's what 1 John 1:9 really is all about. If we confess our sin, it's not that he doesn't know, but he wants us to say, hey, this is my issue right here. And I admit this is wrong. This goes against you. And it says that he's faithful and just to forgive that we bring to him. But if we don't bring it to him, it's like going to the car dealership and standing there and saying, you know, I need a car repair, but you don't take your car or you don't tell them what's going on. They always ask you, what's the problem? What's the issue? Anyway, so we looked at prayer. Then we looked at fasting. And what is the purpose of fasting?
It creates a dependency of God, and it draws us closer to God.
Yes.
So we're no longer depending on food. We're depending on God.
Okay. That's it. That's all fasting is about. It's creating a dependency. So that's why when they approached Jesus, the disciples came up to him, and they couldn't cast out the demon, and Jesus said to them, This requires prayer and fasting. What he was saying literally is you have to wholly be dependent on God for this to happen. You have to be God. This is a God thing. You don't have the power to do it. Only God can do it through you. So if you submit to him, then he can go through and do it. All right, so we learned about fasting. And last week we talked about treasures in heaven. What does it mean to store up treasures in heaven?
It means that when you serve God or whatever you do on earth for the Lord, you will earn treasures in heaven that are not physical and that don't rust or decay.
So can we say that the kingdom is a safe investment?
Yes.
Absolutely.
So, sir, so we serve God. And remember, Jesus was going through things because he was kind of talking about a little shade to the Pharisees that when they did things, when they prayed, when they fasted, when they gave, they did it for show. They did it so that people could see them. They did it so that people could say, hey, that rabbi is a great rabbi over there. He's so generous. He's this. He's that. He's so devout that he fasts. Look at him. He's looking so sad. He's got sackcloth on and ashes, and he looks gaunt. He's really fasting before the Lord. And he's saying, but Jesus is saying, that is not what kingdom's supposed to be about. These things are intimate, personal, private between you and God. So when you pray, you go into your closet. When you give, you don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. When you fast, you put on oil and you put on good clothes. You don't go around looking miserable and I'm fasting. Because when you do that, this is a scripture that won't leave me. The heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? We forget that even though we are in Christ, we still have very much active in us a nature that craves sin and craves the world. And we deal with it every day. And because of that, we don't know where the line is of how far is too far for ourselves. So Jesus is saying, if you practice these acts, when you do these things, if you do them, and it's just between me and the Lord, you know, it's not talking about public prayer because that's different. We come into worship together in public prayer. But when you're praying, I don't sit on my front porch in the mornings when I'm having my devotionals and pray out loud to my neighbors. I do it in private. And then those things that I prayed in private and in secret, God answers, and the answers manifest visibly. Anyway, so we're going to get into today another passage that's very well known as one of these verses I think pretty much every believer should have in their Rolodex. But again, it's a passage of scripture that I think if we grasp the riches of it, it will change everything. Matthew chapter 6, if somebody please read verses 25 and 34.
That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Amen.
Amen. All right. So here we have the very first word in the different translation, but it's the same word translated. In verse 25, the word therefore. And we know we've been taught when you see the word therefore, what question should you ask?
Therefore,
what is it there for? What is he talking? What is he referring to? So what Jesus is referring to is what he just said in verses 19 and through 21, where he said, don't store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust and thieves break in and steal, but store for yourselves up treasures, treasures on earth. But store for yourself up treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. He's referring back to if you're kingdom-minded, if your heart is right in how you're doing and how you're living, you're investing in the kingdom, you don't have to worry about your life. So
I never put that together.
Yeah, because the therefore, you know, he's summarizing by saying, look, based on what I just told you, if you storing up treasure in heaven, where's the return going to show up at?
In heaven, where is stored up?
It's stored up in heaven, and so when do you get the return on your investment? It shows up in your account, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yes. So when you have need of something, who's going to supply it?
The Lord.
The Lord. Not your job, but the Lord may use your job. Not somebody else, but the Lord may use somebody else. But your source, where your source is coming from, is God. If your heart, if you're storing up in heaven. I think this is a great thing for us to grasp, that if we're invested in God's kingdom and what God is doing, and God, and we're letting God rule and reign through our lives and helping others, then it's not that it's a trade-off where, okay, I gave God $10 and my guy owes me 10 or at least 10%. No, it is God saying, I got you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking out for you. So when you have need of anything, you don't have to worry about it because I'm going to take care of it. You don't have to. So what was this thing that we've been through the last month of our government and the debt ceiling? The debt ceiling. They made a big show of this. If the debt ceiling, if we don't pay, then the economy is going to crash. If we don't fix this, the economy is going to crash. And people were losing their minds. The media, our politicians, and they had people even in the streets just shaking, worrying about their stock portfolio, their bank accounts, their jobs, people worrying about everything. But Jesus just told us, if you're storing up treasure in heaven, even if they hadn't have done the deal and the economy crashes, who's going to provide for us?
The Lord.
God always does. This ain't the
God
first time.
God always does.
And we still here.
So why should we be assured? How can we know? And then we're looking at Matthew, right? Matthew is the writer of the book of Matthew, and he's writing to a Jewish, predominantly Jewish audience. What would they know about God that they could be assured that God will provide for them?
God took care of them for 40 years in the wilderness.
All right. So let's go there. This is Bible class, right? This is Saturday school. Let's go to Exodus chapter 16. I've got quite a few examples written down here, but you started with that one, so we're going there first. Exodus chapter 16. And actually, we're going to go up into 15. We're going to start out 15. Slavery verse chapter 15 verses 22 through 27, and then we'll go into 16.
Then Moses led the people of Israel away from the Red Sea, and they moved out into the desert of Shur. They traveled in this desert for 3 days without finding any water. When they came to the oasis of Marah, the water was too bitter to drink, so they called the place Marah, which means bitter. The people complained and turned against Moses. "What are we going to drink?" they demanded. So Moses cried out to the Lord for help, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. Moses threw it into the water, and this made the water good to drink. It was there at Marah that the Lord set before them the following decree as a standard to test their faithfulness to him. He said, "If you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping all his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." After leaving Marah, the Israelites traveled on the oasis of Elim, where they found 12 springs and 70 palm trees. They camped there beside the water.
All right. Thank you. So we have here where the Lord provided what for them?
Clean water, good water.
Drinkable.
Clean water to drink. Water to drink. And then planted them next to 12 springs and palm trees. So they had more than enough water. Right. Somebody read 16 verses 2 through 5 of chapter 16.
There, too, the whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. "Only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt," they moaned. "There we sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted. But now you have brought us into this wilderness to starve us all to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. Each day the people can go out and pick up as much food as they need for that day. I will test them in this to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day they will gather food
and when they prepare it, there will be twice as much as usual. Amen.
So now we have God providing what for them?
Manna.
Manna from heaven. So he provided water and food for them in the wilderness, right?
Yes.
So somebody go back to Matthew chapter 6 and read verse 25.
This is why I tell you not to.
Go ahead.
Okay. This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant.
So you can stop right there. You can just verse 25.
Okay.
So when Jesus says these words, you don't have to worry about your life, what you will eat or drink. A good Jew would say, yeah, because of what?
You provide
the Lord provides.
Providing food and drink for them in the wilderness.
Yeah.
So based on what God has done in the past, when they didn't really know him that well,
mm-hmm.
How much more?
Amen.
So it's good when we can get it in context to the audience that should trigger something in them. And then in us, when we're facing these situations, these stories were written for us to be encouraged.
Yeah.
People say, same God, same God, same God. Oh, we got some more evidence, though. We were in Exodus. Go to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, where we're first introduced to basically this characteristic of God. And somebody read verses 8 through 13 of Genesis chapter 7 through 13 of Genesis chapter 22.
Then Isaac spoke to his father Abraham and said, Father, and he replied, here I am, my son. Isaac said, the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. Then the two of them walked on together. When they arrived at the place that God had told them about, Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood. He bound his son Isaac and placed him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He replied, here I am. Then he said, do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your only son from me. Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in the thicket by its thorns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering in place of his son.
Read verse 14, too.
And Abraham named that place, the Lord will provide. So today it is said, it will be provided on the Lord's mountain.
So what did we learn about God in there?
He's even going to provide his offering.
Hmm.
We can't do nothing for him.
Wow.
He left us
anyway.
I would say whatever goes on that he will provide.
Hmm. And the faithfulness of Abraham. Yeah.
Yeah, we learned about the faithfulness, that Abraham was faithful. We're going to come back to that because you got a point there that I'm going to tie together in a few minutes. So God provided, and that's where we get the name Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. That's where the name comes from. All right, so we know. And then, of course, we all know that in the beginning, let's go to Genesis chapter 1. I'm not going to quote it. You all can, we can read it for ourselves. Somebody just read Genesis 1:1.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Amen.
Okay. So, in the beginning, the very first thing we're told about God is what?
He created the heavens and earth.
He's creator.
God is a creator. So is he able to provide?
Yeah.
And so we have story after story after story of God providing. We have a famine that hits during while Jacob and his sons are in the land, and their son, and not knowing Joseph, in Egypt, and God provided for them to come to Egypt and they be fed during a famine. And then we have more stories of while they're in the wilderness, you know, God providing and healing. God provides. In the book of Ruth, during the time of the judges, there was a famine in the land, and that's why Naomi went to, and her husband went to Moab. And while Naomi was in Moab, after her husband and sons had died, she heard that the Lord was providing food back in Bethlehem, and she went back home. So the Lord, we got example after example. So when we go back to Matthew 6 and those verses there in 25 through 34, we have the Lord. It's an established fact that God will do what?
Provide.
So after Jesus says, therefore I tell you, what does he say? Three words.
God will provide.
Don't worry about
back in
your life. Therefore,
don't worry. Do not worry.
Oh.
Do not worry. And especially about your life. What do you eat or drink? What are eating and drinking for us?
Say that again.
For us, what does it mean to eat and drink? What is it for us?
It sustains our
everything, life.
Exactly. It's a necessity, right?
Yeah.
Don't drink enough water. Some of us know what happens when you don't drink enough water.
You're going to get dehydrated.
All kinds of illness, and eventually, if you don't have it, it's death.
And, you know, Mother Marilyn's on the line. She knows you can go longer without food than you can without water.
Yes.
So we know they both lead to death. If you don't have enough, or if you don't have it for long enough, it can lead to death. So they're necessities. In order to live, we need food and water.
Water.
Mm-hmm. And in order to be functional, we need both. All right.
Yeah.
So that's an encouragement for some of us to drink more water. All right. Especially during these warm days. So how does Jesus compare back in Matthew chapter 6? What does he compare us having God providing us with what we need? What does he compare that to? Look at verses 26.
The birds.
Now we know they're all out there. We got all kinds of birds. We see birds that we haven't seen in years. You got blue jays and cardinals and little wrens, and I saw a beautiful woodpecker the other day at my nephew's house, and just all kinds of birds. Beautiful. How many of those birds are sitting there crying because they don't know, they don't have nothing to eat?
Zero. God.
Meaning, you've seen them go to the doctor to the vet for anti-anxiety medication?
No.
No.
They don't worry about eating.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Matter of fact, a friend of ours, the guy who does the sound for us at the church, he took a picture yesterday morning right here at the corner, end of the corner. There was a wild turkey up here at the end of the corner.
Wow.
Because they'll find food. They don't worry about eating. That's why they sing at 4 o'clock in the morning, because they're up getting what God has provided for them.
You said it was a wild turkey. Where did it come from?
A wild turkey. I don't know. I have no idea.
You see them all the time in Detroit.
Wow. I mean, I know further outside or away from, but then in the last few years, we've seen stuff in our neighborhoods that we haven't, that haven't been around for years. All right, so he's saying, look at the birds. Look at the birds, verse 26 of the air. They don't plant. They don't kill. They're not like the squirrels. The squirrels hide at me. They don't do any of that. They don't store. They don't even store up like the bird, like the squirrels and the ants do. They don't do that. They don't worry. And how does much more? And who feeds them?
God does.
The Lord.
The Lord does.
Yeah.
And so, how much more valuable are we than the birds?
Much more.
Much more.
It is in His image.
What? Thank you. Because we were created in His image. And what kind of God would He look like if His image bearers don't have what they need? We're going to get deep in a second. All right, let's keep going. What about our clothes? I know. How many of us have family clothes?
All of us. Well, most of us.
Most of us. On the phone, at least, we can say most of us got family clothes.
Yeah.
To make a decision. We can make a decision every day about what we're putting on or what we're not going to put on.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But should we worry about having clothes?
No.
Because like food and water, what are clothes?
A necessity.
They're a necessity. They're a necessity. So what does God compare us having clothes to?
And the lilies
and the flowers.
The wildflowers. They just grow up. I told you all of the story about the gardenia that grew up by my house. I have no idea where it came from. I didn't plant it. But it was so beautiful. I took a picture of it because it was, and it smelled so wonderful. And it was beautiful. That's why I took a picture, because it was just so beautiful.
Oh,
and it didn't put in a request for new clothing or try to call Macy's and see if Macy's had some gardenia leaves in stock.
Mm-hmm. Or perfume.
They don't worry. Creation. Remember, we went to the back of the Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So everything in it was created by Him. And since it was created, He created it in the beginning as He intended it to be able to sustain, be fruitful. The plants, the animals, everything was supposed to be able to multiply, to bear seed so it could reproduce. We interfered with all of it. That's the problem. All right.
And
so
I have to confess about the clothing. We have graduation, a lot of events coming up. And it was prime a couple of days ago for E-Corp. So I had clothes here, but I wanted to get something new. And I like to kill myself going out there. I went out the fair lane, couldn't get in one side. I had to walk all the way around and then exit, come back outside. And I was by myself, no help whatsoever. So I had to sit outside for about 10 minutes to get myself together to be able to kick and push back to the car.
And then I left there and went to another store, and I thought I was going to pass out. And I didn't even wear none of that stuff. I wore an old dress I had at home. So it wasn't no need for me to worry. And I'm worrying and worrying and worrying, and I found the old dress at home already. You know, so he doesn't want us to worry. And I was thinking about that scripture, and I'm like, why are you worrying? You know, and I worried myself to death, and then I did purchase the stuff, but I ended up taking it back and wearing something I already had. So,
there's our object lesson for the day. Real time worrying. Somebody reread verses 31 and 32.
So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear? Things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs.
Okay.
Amen.
So God knows we need food, we need drink, we need water, we need clothes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And God knows we need a place, we need shelter. As a matter of fact, there were five pillars that everybody needs. They used to do them as determiners for whether or not children would succeed in school. And the five pillars were food, shelter, drink, clothing, and love. In other words, a community of love, family. Those are the five things. If any one of those things was out of place, then we could identify that that's why kids were having difficulty learning. Well, that goes for everybody. God knows we need all of that. He created us that way. So if I create something, I have the ability to sustain what I created, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, when Ford puts out a new vehicle, and I'm just picking on Ford today, when Ford puts out a new vehicle, before they put that vehicle on the street, they know that they need to have the parts to be able to repair it, the technology to be able to repair it. They need to be able to sustain what they've taken care of. And even if they have to recall it, they need to have a replacement part for it. Right? That's just basic sense.
Right.
How much more our God, who created everything, have the ability to take care of everything he created? But because we live in this world, she said, the unbelievers, that's what the word pagan means. The people that don't believe that God is God, they run around chasing after, we have bigger refrigerators. We have freezer, deep freezer. We have pantries. We have stockpiles of food. We saw when the pandemic hit, people were just running out stockpiling and buying up everything. And one lady still stockpiled from everything she bought up during the pandemic, and it's like laying on the floor. You know, I told her, said, you need to make baskets and start giving them away to people. We hoard by nature.
It's amazing how, you know, the world looks at whether you have good clothes or an abundance of clothes, an abundance of food. They look at that as success and prosperous. And God, you know, that upside down kingdom, he's like, you automatically got that stuff.
And I'm just writing a phrase that I'm going to use before we close, because we're going to wrap up all of it. We still have time. So the world chases after the things that God has already promised to provide for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they wonder why we have anxiety and depression.
Yeah.
When mental illness is at a high. It's because I remember late Robbie Zacharias said, the more materialistic a society is, the more mentally ill that society is.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can believe that.
Wow. Yeah. We see it. We see it.
Yeah.
Again, all you got to do is sit and watch the commercials. The, you know, I always hated commercials, but, man, I really don't want to watch them because they're all about some kind of medication.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're over-medicated. And so here Jesus is saying, but you're part of my kingdom. People in my kingdom don't have to worry about the things that the world worries about. Do not worry. Do not worry. Two things that repeat it, and the other one is repeated more than any other. Do not worry and do not fear. Repeatedly in Scripture, because who's your God? Let's get to the verse that we all know and love. Verse 33. Somebody read verse 33, and we're going to go back and refer to something that was read.
Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need.
Amen.
All right. So we, and some of us have memorized King James and other seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All the things that you're pursuing, all the things that the pagans, the unbelievers run around chasing after, food, love, recognition, community, shelter, all of these things that people work 80 hours a week, 12 hours a day, sometimes 16, you know, hours a day trying to get, God has promised to provide.
Yes.
But you have to seek who first?
God.
The kingdom.
The kingdom.
The kingdom.
God reigning and ruling. In other words, instead of you pursuing the things, you pursue the provider.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
So instead of, I'm going to make it more creative. Instead of pursuing provision, pursue provide the provider.
Oh, that's good. That's a t-shirt.
So because God has already promised to provide, and we have other scriptures, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That's a promise. He will provide if you're pursuing him, if you're storing up treasure in heaven, if you're investing in his kingdom, if your heart is kingdom-minded and kingdom-driven, then God's got us. I think he's hammering this lesson because a lot of us say God is in control, God is good, and I trust in the Lord, but here is a measure of whether or not we trust in the Lord, whether we're worrying about what he's promised to do. The second part of that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his what?
Righteousness.
I was looking up the word righteousness. The word righteousness means a condition. If you want the definition, I'll send it to you. It's the state of him who is as he ought to be, righteous. We know God is
righteous.
Righteous. God is righteous. God is the standard. He's right. And it's a condition also of being acceptable to God. It's a moral standard of doing things God's way and being right. So Keila said something, and it triggered back in Genesis chapter 22. What did you say about Abraham?
Being faithful.
Abraham was faithful. Abraham did what God asked him to do, didn't he? Even though it was going to cost him, didn't it?
Yes. Yes. He believed God. God
and the scripture. Yes. He believed God, and God counted him. It counted it. You guys give me the reference for that verse. I know where it is, but my brain runs too fast when I'm doing class. Abraham believed God, and God counted it to him, I believe in Hebrews, as righteousness. So God counted, so Abraham sought the kingdom. Remember, mm-hmm. he said that the Lord would provide a ram. He believed God. God will provide.
Mm-hmm.
Even if Isaac was the lamb, was the sacrifice. God will provide. Because mm-hmm. he had the reason that, well, if he gave them to me and this is the seed that I'm supposed, that's supposed to be many nations, then he can, if I have to kill him, God can raise him back up.
Amen.
Abraham believed God. Abraham probably was more worried about what Sarah would have said when he came home without Isaac than he was about what God would have done or when Isaac came and told the story. Because I'm sure Isaac told his mother what happened when they were on the mountain. But Abraham, so again, when Jesus is saying, seek first the kingdom of God and righteousness, the Jews should be flashing back to Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
They should flash back to Joshua and Caleb. You know, mm-hmm. they should. Ooh, wait, God provides. So he's saying now. So we have the words of Jesus saying, same God then, same God now. So why are you worried?
Mm-hmm. Worried.
And then he concludes with verse 34. Somebody read verse 34.
Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worry. Today's trouble is enough for today. Amen.
Amen. Now, some of us are a little proactive, you know. My stuff, my dinner for tomorrow is in the works. But I'm not worried about whether or not I'm going to eat tomorrow because mm-hmm. I still have to get through the rest of today. I might not be here tomorrow because that's the reality, isn't it?
Yes.
None of tomorrow's not promised to any of us. So we need to take advantage of today. So worrying about tomorrow is sin. Worrying is sin because you're literally saying, God, I don't trust you.
Amen.
God, you're not trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a Bible of a God who can be trusted. Full of stories. And faithful to a people who were unfaithful to him.
Yeah.
So here we have Jesus giving us the key. He summarizes with this, is that don't worry. God, I got you. God's got you. God is in control. So now you see what I'm saying. When we say God is in control, we need to have some meat on that bone. We need to be able to support it. How do we know God is in? And we all have personal stories. This is where we get to be witnesses, our personal stories of how God has provided. The word a phrase I wrote down was a phrase the Lord told me now 18 years ago, 19 will be soon, and it's the first, and it kind of for me summarizes the things that Jesus talked about. When he talked about prayer, because remember we're looking at what does the kingdom look like in relation to God. So we talked about prayer and that prayer being personal, intimate. We can communicate with the creator of the universe. And we can be transparent about what we need, even though he knows what we need, what we're going through, even though he knows, because God is omniscient, he knows what we're afraid of, what we're worried about. We can be talk to God about all of these things. And then the Holy Spirit brings to our remembrance. Remember what God did with Abraham? Remember what God did with Moses? Remember what God did with you last month? So he reminds us, and then fasting. There are times, there are seasons when you need to be closer, and so you want to be dependent on God. And so you go into fasting that God will sustain you even though you have to work or take care of somebody else or function. But I'm going to put, Paul Shepherd says, turn my plate now because I want to be dependent on you, God. And then you're storing up treasures in heaven. I'm putting it somewhere where I don't have to worry about what the Dow Jones is going to do or what Congress is going to do or what thieves are going to do or what the IRS is going to do. I don't have to worry about that because I'm storing up treasures. I'm kingdom-minded. I'm not giving out of so people who see me. I'm not doing things so I'll get a kickback from it. I'm giving because people have needs and God wants to use me in the kingdom. So we have fast treasure in heaven. And at the end of the day, he's saying, don't worry. If you're doing the right things, if you're seeking my kingdom and doing what's right, you're participating with me in resetting the world and providing justice. And on all these things, God is saying, you have to be totally dependent on me in the kingdom. And this is what Jesus is relaying through the Sermon on the Mount and through this part of the Sermon on the Mount. His kingdom is about being totally dependent on God. It's awfully quiet, so I hope y'all still here.
Yeah, I was just thinking about, you know, Genesis. Even when Adam and Eve sinned, the first thing God did was gave them some clothes. He provided them with clothes, even though they were found in sin.
They saw they were naked.
Mm-hmm.
How transparent can you get when you're naked?
Yeah.
They've been naked, but they just
right.
You know how exposed we are when we have to go for certain doctor visits.
Yeah.
but just open, wide open. But God provided.
Yep. Nevertheless.
So to people who went against him, he still covered them. He still provided for them. Even Cain. When Cain killed Abel, Cain was afraid that, okay, somebody's going to kill me now because I killed Abel. And God even provided Cain with a mark so that nobody would kill him.
Nevertheless.
Yeah.
He's a forgiving God. Hmm. Now that's Sunday school. Now you're in the Sunday school.
Yeah.
Ladies class in Sunday school. That's what that's about. But
yeah.
As we see, that's why I didn't want to jump into this last week and just like fly through it, because this is a big issue for us as believers, worrying. Because the world around us dares you not to worry every day. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
They're always trying
What's
to
the next pandemic?
Not enough.
They got us already on the next pandemic. RSV.
Right.
You know, last year was RSV is going to kill the baby. Now it's RSV is going to kill everybody, you know.
Right.
Again, we just spent the last month, the debt ceiling. That's all we heard if you watch anything on the news was the debt ceiling. Mm-hmm. You didn't even know what else was going on because that's all they talked about. If we default.
Yeah.
They're selling
God
fear.
God determines. They sell fear.
Right.
That's the enemy. Don't trust God. God can't be trusted. But Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things, all the stuff you're worrying about. God's got you. God will take care of you, even to the point if he has to bring you home with himself. I think that's a good place to end. Thank you, class. Loved your participation today.
Well, yeah.
Enjoyable, and I pray that we all will worry less. It's not just going to stop because it's a hard habit to break, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, it's been broken, and we can break it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this class. We thank you for every person that was listening, that we take to heart and know more about who you are and not just know what we believe, but why we believe that your kingdom is even right now and ongoing. We thank you for Jesus, because without him, none of it would be possible. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Janet. Don't worry about nothing. God will provide. I love that. Hey, why pray if we're going to worry, and why worry if we're going to pray? Good lesson. Very good lesson. We just thank you, Sister Janet, always. We appreciate you, and we love you, and have a beautiful day.
All righty. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so if you're not participating in the next part of the service, just depress your one so that you won't be on the host queue, and the ones that's participating, just stay in there. Okay, so after this, get your coffee, your tea, your cookies, your crumpets, and after this selection, we will start our morning service. See you on the other side of this song.
God provides, so why do I worry about my life? When you come to my rescue 1,000 times, every other voice it is a lie. God provides, God provides in ways I can't explain and can't deny. The little that I have he multiplies. Just when I feel he won't show up on time, God provides. He'll come through when the clouds of doubt rain down on you and test everything you thought you knew. Now you finally see what God can do for you. So tonight, close your eyes, there's no more need to fight. Watch God provide. God provides. It's hard to say when there's no food to eat, or what you see feels all that life will be. And will this be another year of misery for me? But my faith can't survive on just things I see, and my feelings can't control my destiny. See, God, I only want what you believe for me. So tonight, close your eyes, there's no more need to fight. Ooh, watch God provide. watch God provide.
Watch God provide. Watch Him provide. The sun is shining on both sides of the street, on you and on me, and God has provided. And this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Running for Christ Ministry Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Running for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with our proclamation scripture and prayer. And at Running for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct our paths. And we have this morning to help us do so is our very own sister deaconess, Rebecca Johnson. Good morning, and thank you for being with us this morning.
Good morning, and thank you for having me. I'll start with the Why We Are Here proclamation, and it goes like this. We proclaim that Jesus the King preexisted as God the Son. Jesus the King was sent by God the Father. Jesus the King took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David. Jesus the King died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. Jesus the King was buried. Jesus the King was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Jesus the King appeared to many witnesses. Jesus the King is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ. Jesus the King has sent the Holy Spirit to His people to effect His rule, and Jesus the King will come again as the final judge to rule. And our scripture is entitled Spiritual Blessings. It is coming from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. That's Ephesians chapter number 1, verses 3 through 11, and it reads as follows. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace He has poured out on us who belong to His dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins. He has showered His kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us His mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill His own good plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, He will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for He chose us in advance, and He makes everything work out according to His plan. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we ask that You fill with Your Holy Spirit everyone who will participate in this worship service now or later. Father, we thank You today for this opportunity to offer You some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that our songs, prayers, and the preach word. Lift Jesus so that all who are lost today will be found. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask for these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Rebecca. We appreciate you, and have a beautiful day.
I will. You too.
Thank you. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Don't understand. man. That's Paul Morton Jr., Paul G. Morton Jr., and Erica Campbell featured in that song. I love that song. It talks about the plan. And, you know, Romans chapter 8 tells us that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his plan, his purposes. Amen. God says over there in Jeremiah, I'm reminded what Deacon Charles Tate taught me when I misread that scripture. He said, hey, there's a S on the end of plans. God says, I know the plans I have for you. And he goes on to say that those plans are to prosper you and not make life worse but better. Okay. Sometimes, you know, last night I had a chance to listen in to Bring Back the Family with Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, her show, and her co-host, Jackie Vandegrift and Rebecca Johnson and others. And a young man came on, I think his name is Jacob Ribron. He came on. He's one of the youth hosts. And he came on and talked about delayed gratification. And Lord have mercy, it was like a fireworks just went off inside of me. And Jesus built a sermon in 2 seconds. You know, he couldn't wait for the time when I get to close out because I bring a close to the show. And the same thing I used to do for John McFaul. But anyway, I had a chance to talk about delayed gratification and several different folks like Noah and Abraham and Joseph and all those who had to wait, you know, on God to do what God said he was going to do, Moses and even as Joshua and David, you know, they had to wait. God said, I'm going to do it, and they knew it, but they had to wait. And, you know, there is a right way to wait and a wrong way to wait. We don't want to wait in worry. We want to wait in faith for God to do what he said he would do.
I'm gonna wait on you. Help me to wait on you. Help me to wait on you. I'm gonna wait until I hear from you. I'll wait for you to see me through. Abide in your word and know it's true. Stand still till you tell me to move. I'm gonna wait until I hear from you. Help me to wait for you to see me through. Abide in your word and know it's true. Stand still and wait until I hear from you. Lord, help me to wait on you patiently. And Lord, while I'm waiting, steady in your word, be anxious for nothing, so I'll continue serving you. Yes, I'll continue praising you while I wait. Oh, wait. Help me to wait on. Help me to wait.
somebody tell him, wait on, just wait on and wait on, trust in the way and wait on, be still and wait on, wait on and wait on.
Man, love that song. That's Nia West and God Almighty, Wait on Him. It's not easy waiting. It's not easy. Sometimes you begin to believe that God didn't even hear you. Sometimes you believe he done went blind. He can't even see you. And then sometimes you believe he hear and see, but don't care. His disciples ran to Jesus while he was comfortably sleeping in the boat because he knew he was going to the other side. He said, let's go to the other side. He didn't say, let's go drown. Let's go to the other side. So Jesus took that opportunity to take a two-hour nap. Storm came up. The disciples forgot what he said about going to the other side. They woke him up. You know what they said to him? Lord, I'm from the King James Version. They said, Lord, carest thou not? Wow, you don't care. And another thing they said was, we're going to die. Now they can read the future. And is it any wonder that Jesus told them, why are you of such little faith? I said, let's go to the other side. I did not say, let's get in this boat and go drown in the middle of the Galilean Sea. Let's go to the other side. Two-hour trip. Should have took a nap like me. But they didn't. Sometimes it get hard when the storm, it's easy to trust God when stuff kind of right. It never really get all the way right. It's just kind of pretty good today. But boy, when that stuff hit and you know you prayed to God 15 times and you know he heard you and he ain't said nothing, will you still believe?
Oh,
So meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Associate Pastor Terrence Tate. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
My heart started pounding as I listened to what I was saying, 'cause in my head I never thought it could happen to me. But I recall what I was taught in the 34th chapter of the book of Psalms. In spite of our afflictions, he'll deliver us from them all. My trust is gonna get hard sometimes, and when those moments come, I'll rest within your arms and give you praise for what's about to come. No matter how long it takes, I'll never give up my praise. So while I wait, I'll be patiently praying. Of James, the proud faith shall save the sick, the Lord will raise them up once again. Yeah, that encourages me to praise him along the way. Come.
morning, all Blog Talk Radio listeners all around the world. Yes, it is prayer time. But before I pray, I just want to ask a question today. What are you worried about today that's causing you not to let God answer the prayer that you want answered? Think about that. And take it to the Lord in prayer. As I pray it out loud, go to him with your request. Let him know what you need, because he's the only one who can answer it. Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to bring our needs to you in prayer. We thank you for the opportunity to see another day that had never been used before, Father. Father, we praise you for everything that we heard today from the Saturday Sunday school class to now. We bring our needs, we bring our requests to you because you said in your word, by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, you tell us to make our requests known to God. So, Father, we're bringing our requests to you because we know that you're the only one who can answer. Because you said in your word in Jeremiah 33:3, you said, call on me in the time of need, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things that haven't been done yet. Father, you said in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then you will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. Father, you tell us in your word in Matthew chapter 25 through 33, you tell us, do not worry. But mainly in chapter 34, you said, do not worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow worry about itself, because today has enough trouble of its own. Father, we're sorry that we are not listening to your word as well as you want us to. Father, we ask that you forgive us for disobeying you when you tell us not to worry. Father, we pray for the people in Washington. They just went through getting this debt ceiling thing passed. But Father, we're not worried because we already knew that it was going to pass, because it was already in your plans for the debt ceiling to pass, even if some Republicans weren't on board. You already knew what this debt ceiling thing was about. You already knew what was going on in Washington before we even knew about it. So, Father, we just praise you for the fact that you already knew and what was going on. And we praise you for the fact that you remind us what your word says about do not worry. Father, you said in Philippians chapter 4, if you are going to pray, don't worry. If you are going to worry, don't pray. Father, you said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, you said, cast your cares upon me because I care for you. And then you said in verse 8 of 1 Peter chapter 5, the devil is like a roaring lion roaming about seeking whom he may devour. Father, the reason why we worry is because we don't understand the power of your provision. We lack the understanding of the power of your provision. Help us understand that you will always provide, even before we were created, Father. You had a plan, a provision already in place even before we were put on this earth. So, Father, we just say thank you for the fact that you provide our needs even before we know what we need, why we need it, when we need what we need. Father, we pray for our youth. We ask that you put your arm around them as they graduate and move on to whatever plans you have for them. Let them be the light that you created them to be. Show them how to live according to your word with their actions, Father. And for those who don't believe in you, help the church show the world how good you have been to us. Because, Father, you are the God of provision. And because of that, we do not have to worry. And you tell us in your word that when we worry, it is sin. You tell us in your word that when we're worried, we are committing sin. And, Father, we are so apologetic for committing the sin of worry because we know that you have always and will continue to supply all of our needs. Even when we are at home with you, you will always provide what we need, where we need it, when we need it, why we need it, through who you want to provide our needs through. It is in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus that I pray this prayer. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Power in prayer. Thank you, Associate Pastor Terrence Tate, for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you and have a beautiful day. Thank you.
I will. You too.
Prayer. Thanks. Power in prayer. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful service. I am truly enjoying the service, and I hope you are too. With more to come, I want to thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, and if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Be the reason someone smiled today. Share the love, joy, and the blessings. Amen. Okay, time for the preach word, a message from God. The best part, icing on the cake. The next voice you will hear following this song selection is our very own man of God, Assistant Pastor Jonathan Tate. Prepare to receive Assistant Pastor Jonathan Tate as he come in his own way with a word from the Lord. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for a wonderful service. We thank you for each and every one that's listening. We thank you for them and their families all around the world, Lord, that you would encourage them and inspire them and give them comfort and healing as well, Lord, and restoration. We thank you for your word today in the book of Colossians chapter 4. We thank you for just being who you are and being a very real presence in our lives. We say thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Good morning, brothers and sisters all around the world. My name is Jonathan Tate, and I'm one of the assistant pastors at Running for Christ Ministries. And today, the word that the Lord provided is Colossians chapter 4 through 6. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. I will be reading from the New International Version. Colossians was written around A.D. 60 by the Apostle Paul, and he was actually in prison in Rome when he wrote the book of Colossians, which is a letter to the church at Colossae. And I've noticed the theme of this service from literally from the Saturday school lesson and on up until now, and is dealing with us not worrying about anything but trusting God for everything and actually exercising faith in God. And the purpose of the book of Colossians is to combat errors in the church and to show that believers have everything they need in Christ. To show that believers have everything they need in Christ. I know that there's a lot going on in this world today, in our lives, individually and collectively, but we just really need to understand that we have everything that we need in Christ. Amen. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 reading, it says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open the door for our message so that he may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. And that's not cliche. That's a genuine request, that the Lord add a blessing to those who read, hear, and do his word. Because we need all the blessings that we can get. Verse 2 says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. I think so many times we as the body of Christ, the church, get prayer wrong, and we misunderstand what prayer is. Prayer is simply communication with God, and it's not you just running down your wish list of things that you want and feel like you need to God, treating him like a genie in the lamp. But it's simply communication with God, and that's not just one way, it's two ways. Prayer works two ways. It's you making requests known to God and, you know, you communicating with God, but that's also God communicating with you as well. You know, that still voice, that quiet voice that says, hey, this is something I need you to do. I need you to pray for such and such. I need you not to eat that today at this time. I need you to wear this. One thing I've learned is that the closer, the more you read the word and the more you work on developing your relationship from your standpoint with the Lord, the more he will reveal to you, and the closer you will come to him. So it says right here to devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. This is something that we all need to do. This is something that we should justly engage in terms of devoting ourselves to prayer, to say, hey, Lord, what is it that you want me to do today? What is it that you want me to say today? How can I be a blessing to someone? And just to stay in constant communication with the Lord. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing, which means that we should not stop communicating with God. Real simple. So if you're devoting yourself to a fruitful communication with the Lord, where you're constantly talking to the Lord and listening to the Lord, it's going to help you develop in all aspects of your life. And it says to be watchful and thankful. I know sometimes we pray about certain things and we want things to jump off in our favor right away. But God doesn't operate like that. You know, one thing, I've shared this with my friends and family, one thing I do not like about big preaching is that you have to be extremely transparent. And it's not just for me, it's for everyone. So that's why I have to be transparent. So just to give you an example, I file my taxes faithfully. I pay taxes. I don't, you know, goof off with the IRS. I've been there, done that a time or two, and it's expensive. So I pay my taxes, and I file, and I usually get tax returns. Well, I'm literally waiting on my federal tax return from 2022 for the year of 2021. And I've been going back and forth with the IRS, and what it boiled down to is they wanted me to verify that I could claim my oldest son on my taxes. So we've been going back and forth. I've sent them documents, and finally they were like, well, yeah, we'll send it to you in about 8 weeks. Now, this whole time, I've been praying, but I was frustrated, so I wasn't thankful. I'm like, I pay my taxes. Like, I'm the person that should get my refund in a timely fashion. I don't, you know, engage in shenanigans anymore, being fully transparent with the IRS, you know, jacking my exemptions up or doing whatever, you know, causes you to have problems with the IRS. But I'm like, Lord, you know, I've been waiting impatiently. What's happening? So when it says to be watchful and to be thankful, you have to be patient and trust that the Lord heard you, and not to worry and not to get impatient and not to be frustrated, because sometimes it's no, sometimes it's yes, and sometimes it's wait. So regardless, you can think of it like a stoplight, traffic light. Stop or slow down. Go, yes. So we have to devote ourselves to prayer and be watchful and thankful and trusting the Lord. Amen? Amen. And verse 3 says, and pray for us too that God may open the door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. The Bible commands us to pray for one another, our brothers and sisters all around the world, and to give thanks for each other. If we're praying for one another and giving thanks for each other and loving each other, this won't be difficult. And it goes further to so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Again, Paul at this time was sitting in prison for telling people about Jesus, about how he He lived, he died, and he rose from the grave to pay for all sin. That's exactly why he was in prison, in chains, because he was spreading the gospel, the good news about Jesus. And he went down through there in terms of spreading the gospel. He went to different places, and he was persecuted. He was locked up time and time again. And there may be people around the world who still are persecuted for the good news, for telling people about the mystery of Christ. And it's our job as brothers and sisters not to just be so comfortable in our situations, but to spread the word about Christ and to pray for those and encourage and inspire those who also are around the world who are spreading the same message. Because the reality is that the numbers are staggering in the wrong direction as far as people that proclaim to know Christ or have a relationship with Christ. Less than half the world's population professes to know Christ. So we have a job to do. Paul did his job. He's no longer on earth. He's going on to be with the Lord. But we have a job to do. As a great friend of mine said yesterday, we have to invite more people to the party, and that eternal party. And it starts with us telling people about Christ. So we do have to pray for our brothers and sisters around the world, because there are folks, again, who face persecution just for telling folks about Jesus. Amen. And verse 4 says, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. You know, there's a lot of people who are suffering from church hurt because you've had people from pulpits, you've had people in leadership positions proclaim things that are based upon tradition and not God's word. And the Lord warns about misleading one of his children, saying basically it's better for you to put a millstone around your neck and you jump off in the ocean than to lead one of God's children astray. One of the things that I take very seriously is sharing God's word to the word. Now, I will share my personal experiences, you know, from time to time, but as far as the general message, it has to come from God's word, so that I'm not guilty of leading anyone astray. And I'm still being led, you know, thankfully from, you know, Pastor O, who's been, you know, a faithful leader, and who's been extremely transparent and open and honest. But one thing about Running for Christ Ministries is we have to stick to the word. And that has to be true for the rest of the body of Christ. We have to just stick to the word. And we need to proclaim it clearly. And for us to do that, we just have to stick to the word. We don't have to make anything up. We don't have to base anything on traditions. It's strictly sticking to the word, proclaiming what Jesus did. It's written right here in the word. So let's keep that in mind as we move through these difficult times in life, you know, to keep the main thing, which is that Jesus gave his life for us so that we could spend eternity with him. He rose from the grave to pay for all of our sins, past, present, and future. Do I get it right all the time? No. Sometimes I wake up bold, go to sleep bold, go throughout the day bold. But one thing I do know is that when I turn left, I always have to run to Christ and confess my sins, because he's faithful and just to forgive me for my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And I'm thankful for his unconditional love in that and for paying for my sins, all of them. Verse 5 says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. When it refers to outsiders out here, it's basically talking about folks who aren't saved or non-Christians. Christian means a follower of Christ. Again, if we want to invite people to the party, that eternal party in glory, we have to be appealing. We can't be so churchly, if that's a word, that we turn off folks who are in the street or folks who are not saved. But be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Sometimes people learn forgiveness, for example, in you and how you forgive people. Sometimes people learn patience and love and long-suffering by how you respond to situations that require you to show those fruits of the Spirit. I've had so many people time and time again approach me and say, man, I like how you handle that situation, or no matter what's going on, you always find a way to smile. I'll never forget Mother Stubblefield. She said, no matter what you're going through, you always smile. And I laughed at the time, and I had to be honest with her that it wasn't me keeping that smile on my face. It was the Lord, because she was a witness to, you know, me being shot at, me becoming a new father, me breaking my finger and requiring surgery a week after my son was born, and me being laid off and my mom passing away, and all of those things that I had to endure in such a short period of time. And she just stood by and she watched. Always find a way to smile no matter what you're going through. And it's only because of the Lord's presence in my life since I was 10. And one thing that we can learn from that, the fact that we're saved and we're going to spend eternity with the Lord and we don't have to go to hell, that should be enough to keep a smile on our face. That should be enough to lead someone by your actions to the Lord, where they say, what is it about you? Why do you keep smiling no matter what's going on? Why is it that you can go through chaotic times and be so peaceful and so humble and so patient? How is it that you can wait on your tax return for well over a year and a half and be patient and impatient at times? Someone's always watching. So we have to be wise in how we act towards folks, whether they're saved or not, and to make the most of every opportunity. Even when my kids ask me questions, I always try to use it as a teachable moment to make good use of my time and every opportunity. Sometimes it can just be a hug or a handshake that can make the difference. Everyone's not out to scam and scheme and to disrespect you. But our job is to plant seeds so that we can send out invitations to the party. Verse 6 says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. I've learned from the word that a soft answer turns away wrath. I believe that's in Proverbs. And I work in corrections and law enforcement, and there's so many times where I've seen that word in action, where my soft answer helps a person calm down and kind of refrain from being angry or displaying wrath. And our conversation should always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, where it's pleasant, it's palatable to receive our conversation as God's children. And if we put that into practice, we will learn how to answer everyone, no matter if they're angry, if they're sad, if they're depressed, if they're frustrated. Even if we just have to pause and say, Lord, give me the words to say, or give me the tone to answer this person properly. And even when someone is asking you a million questions and you're getting frustrated, just take the time and answer the questions that you can answer and be peaceful and be appealing. When you treat people right, it comes back right to you. And people never forget that. I think Dr. Angelou said that people will never forget how you make them feel. And as God's children, we're supposed to be cognizant of how we make people feel. Because the truth of the matter is we don't always get it right. We don't always show love like we should. We don't always display patience like we should, those fruits of the Spirit. No matter what we're going through, we're supposed to have the answer that we have God in our lives. So it's all good. We don't have to worry like the world does. We don't have to act as the world does. But we need to be the light of the world. We need to receive people into our family, our eternal family. But you know, if you're not saved, your eternal place of residence will be hell. And Jesus came literally so that no one would have to go to hell unless by choice. I chose Jesus October 31st, 1987. So I punched my ticket into heaven that day, that night rather. And it's so simple for us to join the party. If you're not saved, if you're not sure that you're saved, if your heart stopped right now, if you're not, you don't know where you will end up, whether it will be in glory or on your way to hell, you need to get saved. But it starts with your belief in Jesus. See, Jesus came and he lived a life free from sin, so he could go to the cross to pay for all of our sins. And then Jesus rose from the grave with all power and glory to complete the payment for our sins. So if you believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave to pay for all your sins, that's the first part of it. You on your way. The second part is just simply an invitation to invite the Lord, because based upon what you genuinely believe. And if you believe and you want to accept Jesus into your heart and life right now, just repeat after me and say, Lord Jesus, I am an admitted sinner. I believe that you died on the cross and you rose from the dead, all of my sins. I invite you to come into my heart and life so that I can spend eternity with you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you believed and you prayed that prayer, you're saved. Now, it's your job to get into a good Bible-based church so that you can continue to grow and develop as a new follower of Christ. And then it's also your responsibility to look at Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6, and conduct yourself accordingly by devoting yourself to prayer, communication with God, by asking for the Lord's direction and how to treat people and to answer people so that you can receive people on his behalf into the party, into our eternal family. Let us pray, Lord. We thank you for this wonderful time, this worship service. We pray that you will receive this worship, Lord, as a sweet-smelling fragrance, genuine from our hearts and our spirits, Lord. Help us to grow and to develop and to advance your kingdom and to constantly invite folks to join our family, Lord, so that they can spend eternity with us, so that we can celebrate, Lord, with you in glory. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. That was an awesome word. It was a reminder, and it was a word to make us look inward about how it is that we're supposed to reflect Christ. You know, all of our lives have things going on. We all have stuff happening. We all see the same things going on in the world. As being part of the body of Christ, we have a responsibility to overlook all of those things and to put it in the hands of the Lord. And it was just like what you said. I was thinking before you even mentioned it, that the entire theme of today's service seemed to talk about worry and how it can overtake you and how it just, it's something that you don't need to be concerned about because we need to trust the Lord. And so your message came right along with that and just reminded us how being in constant communication with the Lord and just giving everything to him and learning how to treat people and talk to people and be around people and just reflect Christ out onto others is, like you always say, Pastor Jonathan, keeping the main thing the main thing. So thank you for the message that you brought to us today. Very short, very sweet, and very to the point. And I read something a long time ago. I don't know if it was on a banner or something, but it said, it's all good because it's all God. So when you put God next to your huge, ginormous problem that you feel like you can't do anything about, give it to God. It's all good because it's all God. He's got it. He's got us. He's got everything. He has not forgotten about us, like Pastor O mentioned earlier. You know, you like, God, are you blind? You can't see what's going on. Can't you hear me? Can't you see? Even Pastor Jonathan preached, you know, speaking about tax return. Lord, don't you see? But waiting impatiently. But then the song that Pastor played talked about being patiently waiting on the Lord. So everything today was just about every situation, no matter how big or small, in the hands of the Lord. And so we just thank you again, Pastor Jonathan Tate, for bringing us that word today. We should feel convicted in a sense, but we should not feel condemned because all it is a prompting from the Holy Spirit for us to just do a little bit better, to give a little bit more, and to try a little bit harder because the Lord has us. And so we thank you again for the time that you took to bring that word to us. We thank everyone who's already participated in the service up until this point, from the Saturday church school all the way up until now. It really, really has been amazing. So good morning, everyone. Please excuse my voice. I don't know what's going on. I got a whole sinusy, nasally, whatever going on, but y'all know it's me, okay? So happy Saturday to everyone. It is the first Saturday in the month of June. Already we are halfway through the year. Time is marching, but God is good. Amen. So just by way of a couple of announcements, Sunday, June 4th, which is our first Sunday, we will have our Sunday school taught by Pastor Janice Tate, which begins at 9 a.m., and we will continue on
in our Sunday worship service, which begins at 10 a.m. Of course, we will have our praise team leading us in songs of praise to the Lord. Amen. And so we just want to say that the entire month of June is Men of God Month at Run for Christ Ministries. Amen. And so with various preachers bringing us the word of God. And so we will kick it off on the first Sunday, which is tomorrow, with Minister Richard Overall from Word of Faith International, bringing us a word from the Lord. Very excited about that. Come on out. All are welcome. And make sure to invite one guest with you each Sunday this month to these worship services to help us celebrate these men of God according to the Word of God. Amen. We are located at River Rouge High School in the LGI Auditorium. Again, our Sunday school begins at 9 a.m. with Pastor Janice Tate, and we continue on with our worship service, which begins at 10 a.m. Monday, new message, new announcement. New announcement, y'all. Pay attention. This Monday, we will begin our new Bible class on Blog Talk Radio at 6 p.m. The teacher will be Deacon Charles Tate. I'm not sure if that's exactly the case because I know Pastor has sent the email to us about this particular class and this particular month. So it doesn't matter who the teacher is. You just need to be in class, right? Mm-hmm. So, again, Monday we will begin our new Bible class here on Blog Talk Radio at 6 p.m. A book is required. So just make sure to tune in and learn about the Beatitudes, amen, the attitudes to be, as Pastor O broke it down to us a while ago. So see Pastor O if you do not have a book for this class, because you do need the book in order to be able to participate, all right? Don't forget, every Tuesday at 4 p.m., Minister Richard Overall is on Blog Talk Radio with Training Day. Every Wednesday at 6 p.m., we have our Bible reading class, which is going to be coming to an end, I believe, at the end of this month. So the class that's happening on Mondays is happening on Mondays now, but once we're done with Bible reading class, which I believe is either the last Wednesday of June or the first Wednesday in July, and then the classes that are happening on Mondays are going to be shifting to Wednesdays, and we will ultimately still only have one Bible reading class. It's just going to be a different type of class, if that makes sense, because we've gone through the Bible multiple times. So when we're done with Bible reading class, going through the Old Testament, we're going to be shifting the class that's happening on Monday to Wednesday. So ultimately, there still is only going to be one Bible class on Wednesday. Amen. So this Wednesday, Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon will be teaching the books of Nahum and Habakkuk. H-A-B-A-K-K. You can't send y'all Bible, y'all, okay? Nahum and Habakkuk. So just make sure to tune in at 6 o'clock on Wednesday for Bible reading class. Questions will be emailed out. If you're in church in person, you know I'll have the yellow folder with the questions in them, as well as just going to our church website, rfcm.org, and getting them that way as well. Do not forget that every Friday at 7 p.m., Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is on Blog Talk Radio with her show, Bring Back the Family. So just please join in and comment on the discussion about our children. Amen. So I was mentioning graduates last month, but it's officially graduation season. Amen. Everybody do some type of graduating in June of some sort. So we, again, want to congratulate all of those who have celebrated a graduation, whether it's, you know, you celebrated your little baby graduating from kindergarten going to first grade, because those are big steps, whether or not you got middle school kids that are graduating going to high school, whether you got high school kids graduating going to college, or you got college kids graduating and going on to the next level. No matter what, it all deserves to be celebrated because it all took effort. Amen. So we just want to, of course, shout out all of our school and college graduates, at Run for Christ Ministries, Minister Sarah Tate McClendon, Deaconess Danielle Mackey, Alexandria Maynard, Darius Freeman, and Nedra Gaston. Amen. So congratulations to them. They are all on different levels, but they are all going to be moving forward. And so we're so excited for them. Again, we congratulate them, and we ask that you just keep them all in prayer, not just ours at Run for Christ Ministries, but all of the graduates, because every time you go up to a new level, you got new stuff you got to deal with. So they all need to be lifted up in prayer. So just continue to pray for them and show them love as they move forward in their education. Amen. Please remember that all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free no matter what we do on Blog Talk Radio. If you can hear us, you can go back and hear it again because it's recorded, archived, and free. Amen. Make sure to check out our church website, rfcm.org. There's classes, services, jobs, books, resources, info, and more. Share it with others. Use it for yourself. Do what you need to do with it, but use the resources that are there available for you. Amen. If you'd like to pay your tithes or give any offerings, again, RFCM is the place to go. If you would like to give a love offering for Pastor Jonathan Tate, who brought the word this morning, please go to rfcm.org and just click on the tithes and offerings tab. Remember to specify Pastor Jonathan Tate's name with your offering, and we will see to it that he receives it accordingly. Amen. So the Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness in sharing with us and with him. Amen. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 says, to rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so when you pray first, over time, you will find yourself praying continually. And so we ask your continued prayers for everyone, everywhere, all of the time, prayers for those who are sick, shut in, hospitalized, incarcerated. Make sure to pray for one another. Most definitely make sure to pray for yourself and your household. Pray for our schools, our children. You know, the warm weather is upon us. The children are going to be officially out of school. And the summertime tends to be really, really busy because you have a lot of kids who have nothing to do. Okay, and so when they have nothing to do, they find things to do. And when they find things to do, they're not always finding the right things to do. So there tends to be a lot of movement happening in the summertime because kids are out of school and they just don't have anything positive to occupy their time with. So we definitely need to be praying for our children as they release out for summer break. Continue to pray for all of the doctors and the medical professionals, our nation, our world, our leaders, as they're constantly facing major decisions that affect all of us. Those who are missing and exploited and being trafficked and those who are suffering abuse of all types, please continue to pray for all of our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world and so much more. I read an article the other day that spoke about families and people in China. I think this particular article spoke about a family who was sentenced to, I think, life imprisonment because they found them with Bibles and they were serving Christ as Christians. And I think the baby was like a two-year-old. And I'm like, Lord, how do you sentence a two-year-old to life imprisonment? The baby doesn't know that it's serving you, but the parents made a conscious decision to serve Christ, and yet they're being persecuted because they have Bibles and they are in the Christian faith. I mean, how horrible is that? We are free here to serve Christ. Yeah, you may come across some radicals who feel like, you know, they have hatred or whatever towards a certain group or whatever the case may be. But as a whole in this country, we can serve whoever we want. Okay, so you can serve Christ. You can serve, you know, bread. You can serve whatever you want and don't really have to come up against opposition. And you most definitely are not being incarcerated or executed for your belief in Christ. And I just thought that was so sad that in 2023, people around the world are still being persecuted for being a follower of Christ. You're talking about sentencing families to life imprisonment, a two-year-old to prison because of their family's belief in Jesus Christ. So I just, I don't, the word says you know, anyone who follows Christ will be persecuted. That is just, to me, it's horrible. So when we say pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world, it's not just for those who live in Christian nations who are free to serve. It's really for those who cannot freely serve Christ and who have to do it in secrecy so that they don't lose their lives or their families because of it. So when we're praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ, it's a big, big thing. And so we just need to remember to do that, because while we're free here, everybody's not free. Amen. So we just want to ask for prayers for Darius Freeman, Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks, which it was great to hear her voice again this morning in Saturday Church School, Deaconess Lisa Thornton, Nico Gaston, Deacon Eric Reed, Doris Gaither, all of the caregivers that are out there, Elder Joseph Stevens, Brother Ed Johnson, all of our mothers on the move at Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, Mother Irma, Mother Persia. It's so good to see them every Sunday morning. Amen. All ganged up together. It's such a blessing. We're so happy when they just come in one by one and we're able to see them and see their faces and see that they're still holding on. It really is a beautiful thing. So, again, please continue to pray for our government and all of the leaders of our country and our communities, and always never forget to pray for those who are bereaved, grieved, and mourning everywhere. Amen. So it's a new month. Happy birthday to all of the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who are celebrating their birthday in this month of June. If you celebrated the first couple of days of this month, happy birthday. We got a little list that Run for Christ Ministries for the birthdays for this month. Amen. So Harley celebrates her birthday on the 4th. Mother Cheryl Hamilton celebrates her birthday on the 6th. If I'm not mistaken, and I have this written down on my paper, but Sister Keela Freeman, I believe her birthday is on the 6th as well. Luke, little Luke, like he is growing up, his birthday is on the 13th. Our favorite president, President Sherrod Abraham, celebrates on the 14th. Deacon Eric Reed on the 15th. Alexandria on the 16th. Denia on the 17th. Naomi Carter on the 21st. And Deaconess Demetrius Cowan on the 22nd. So y'all know we will be shouting them out all month long and showing them nothing but birthday love in this month. Amen? So happy birthday to each and every one of you. So last but not least is your devotional for today, which is entitled, Are You Giving Your Best? And again, you know this is by Pastor Jeff Shreve. I love his devotionals. I like to read them on Saturdays because they are longer, but they're awesome. Amen. So this one is entitled, again, Are You Giving Your Best? And it reads as follows. When you give blind animals as sacrifices, isn't that wrong? And isn't it wrong to offer animals that are crippled and diseased? Try giving gifts like that to your governor and see how pleased he is, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. And that's Malachi chapter 1, verse 8. Anyone who knows me knows I love Rocky Balboa, the Italian stallion. I think one of the reasons I love the Rocky character so much is because he was a fighter with limited ability but tons of heart. He fought with all that he had and then some. When the unheralded Rocky Balboa first fought Apollo Creed, no one took the fight seriously. It was supposed to be a cakewalk for Apollo, the skilled, polished, undisputed champion of the world. But the cakewalk turned into a 15-round battle for survival that Apollo barely won by a split decision. As a result of the fight, both men ended up in the same hospital, battered and bruised. In one memorable hospital scene in Rocky II, Rocky wheels himself into Apollo's room and asks him this penetrating question. Apollo, did you give me your best? Going the distance with the champ only meant something to Rocky if he knew Apollo had truly given his best. So God's beef with his people. In the book of Malachi, God was very displeased with his people. Do you know why? It was because they were not giving their best. They were coming before the Lord with their scraps and the leftovers of their lives. They were offering mangy, crippled, flea-infested lambs as offerings and keeping the good lambs for themselves. They were giving far, far less than their best. Hear what God thinks of this second-rate, half-hearted, low-budget, lukewarm, leftover worship. when you give blind animals as sacrifices, isn't that wrong? And isn't it wrong to offer animals that are crippled and diseased? Try giving gifts like that to your governor and see how pleased he is, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. Go ahead. Beg God to be merciful to you. But when you bring that kind of offering, why should he show you any favor at all? Ask the Lord of Heaven's armies. And that's Malachi chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Be honest. What are you giving to God? The best of your time, talent, and treasure, or something far less? Jesus said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things, the food, clothing, and all of the necessities of life will be added to you. And that's Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Are you really seeking him first? Perhaps you are like so many Christians who are putting a higher priority on career, money, recreation, family, friends, TV, and social media than they are the King of Kings. To the people of Malachi's day who were giving God the mangy, crippled lambs, he reminded them that he was a great king who should be feared, revered, and respected to the highest degree. That's Malachi chapter 1, verse 14. To the people of our day giving God the scraps of their lives, God says to this effect, I see what you are doing. I see into your heart and know you are giving me your leftovers. You desperately need to get a fresh glimpse of the greatness of who I am before it is too late. So take some time today to read Isaiah chapter 41. Let your mind consider the unfathomable majesty and grandeur of God. He is the one who literally spoke the world into existence. Universes drip from his fingertips. What an awesome privilege we have to know him, worship him, and call upon his name. Let us never offer to God anything less than our very best, for he alone is worthy. Amen, amen, and those are your announcements.
Amen, amen, and my stuff is working again, Crystal.
Praise the Lord.
I'm telling you. And then I get on chat show because my phone was working, right, and they talking about delayed gratification. I'm like, really?
Oh,
Jesus?
Wow.
How long I got to wait?
Wow. Okay, Cassius,
you know,
I'm
baby,
just talking
Holy
about
Ghost.
That. My text return. How long I gotta wait? Okay,
yeah, how
now.
Long I gotta wait? Baby, Holy Ghost was telling me to call everybody and tell them, you know, this wasn't gonna happen today. But then
mm-hmm.
I woke up this
mm-hmm.
morning and everything was working. Thank you, Comcast, and amen.
Hello.
Praise
Comcast,
the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Yeah, it would have really been a problem if the television went out. Now, that would have been a serious issue.
Yeah, that would have been an issue. A real big issue.
I'm telling you, no YouTube, no drag racing, please. Really? Now, it's cruel and unusual. How long, Lord, shall I not see drag racing? Like, that's your biggest problem, huh? Drag race.
Ooh, right there. There it is, right there.
I don't need no sandwich, Jesus. I need the drag race. But anyway, Chris, thank you. Tell Amir I said,
you're
hey.
Amen.
Be blessed. Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in today. And, yes, the men are coming up on the stage this month. And, you know, y'all pray for me because I have to do a new thing. I have to learn how to introduce myself. I'm not good at that. It's the most horrible thing I've ever had to do. I know to you it probably don't seem like a whole lot, but to me it was everything. So pray for me this month because I might have to step in for Elder Stevens unless the Lord does a miracle and gets him up and back on his feet and ready to come and preach for us. But I might have to step in or do something have to happen. But anyway, keep me in your prayers, okay, because it was okay listening to the women, but now that it's time for me to actually say something, and amen, Jonathan and Richard Overall, and amen. So just pray for us. Keep the church and keep me in your prayers because I'm really suffering with that. Amen. I know everybody's saying, Pastor, I don't know the whole Bible. You don't suffer nothing. Oh, you suffer everything. But anyway, amen. God bless you. Have yourselves a wonderful weekend. It is so good to see every one of you. And I cannot thank God enough for doing special things. I'll just say that he did a special thing because he knew I needed it.
Uh-huh. Y'all ready, y'all? Come on. Right. Come on, you ready?
Oh.